everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of July 30th through August 5th, 2012. Not that those of us here in the good old US of A will be able to watch much skating live this season. Friday, we found out our ability to watch all the Grand Prix except Skate America live is being held hostage by Universal Sports as they try to get purchased by more providers. They won't let subscribers watch online anymore if they don't get the channel on TV, and Ice Network will only be allowed to upload on-demand coverage a week after the event. One can expect a similar fate for Four Continents and Worlds if Ice Network gets the right to do anything with them at all. They're trying to make up for it by offering the U.S. International Figure Skating Classic as the new Salt Lake City Senior B is apparently going to call itself, and the first Junior Green Lake Placid, though that, of course, might keep it off YouTube. The roster for the Lake Placid event was released earlier this week, though the Japanese contenders and handful of others had already been released, including Satoka Miyaharu and Kakuto Mataki, with the former pretty much the favorite of the 29 ladies, though she contends with a trio of Americans in the form of Courtney Hicks, Kiri Baga, and Angela Wang, with three Junior Grand Prix golds between them, though Wang's only had one event in the past where she finished fourth, and the solo Russian entry, Evgenia Gerasimova, has never competed on the circuit at all, but shouldn't be counted out for a medal. Tanaka had already been announced as one of the 22 men, and his challenge for the gold is to beat Joshua Ferris. None of the other men in this field have ever even top fived in a junior Grand Prix, though German Martin Rapp and Russian Vladislav Tarasenko both had 6th and 7th finishes in their history. There are a lot of skaters, including of course second Japanese guy Taichi Honda, and both of the second two Americans, Lucas Cowgers and James Schlechlich, who are making their junior Grand Prix debut, or even their international debut. Known beforehand also are Haven Denny and Brandon Fraser to head the American pairs, and in fact, the U.S. becomes possibly the first country ever in this event to take advantage of the rule allowing the host country to enter limited pairs. Four of the 14 teams here of America, including Madeline Aaron and Matt Sutledge, Jessica Buffon and AJ Race, and Olivia Altmans and Joshua Santillan, none of whom are in big competition for the medals. That's the Russian teams. Last year's major sensations and junior world's bronze medalist Vesela Zidankova and Andrew Deputat will be the favorites, and more minor sensations Camila Gainet-Dinova and Ivan Beach will also make their junior Grand Prix debut, as will the more modestly accomplished team of Ekaterina Kuklina and Maxim Pechikov. With, oddly enough, no Chinese teams entered, and two of the Canadian teams also debutantes, the other podium contenders are the veteran Canadian team, Margaret Purdy and Michael Marinaro. There are actually fewer ice dance teams, only 12, again with a pair of bronze medal favorites in the form of Alexandra Aldridge and Daniel Eaton, though they will be highly challenged by Russians Evgeny Kosygin and Nikolai Marashkin trying to bounce back from the disappointments of last year, and Canadians André Poulin and Marc-André Servant, who have a few disappointments to bounce back from too. And meanwhile, number two teams from each country, Madeline Aaron and Daniel Fast, Daria Morozova and Mikhail Zirnov, and especially Noah Bruiser and Timothy Lum, may factor in too. For future Junior Grand Prix events, Switzerland has named Nicola Todeschini and Laurie Nicodit for the men's and ladies' events respectively in Austria, and the German Pokal die Blonde Schwetter has actually been moved. The venue in Dresden now has a roof under repair, which won't be done until the end of October, so the event, which takes place in the middle of the month, has been moved to Chemnitz. But the big news on the senior side isn't who competing, it's who isn't. Carolina Kostner, a couple of weeks after saying she's definitely going on, has been crossed out on her two events. With no explanation from her or her team as I record this Sunday evening, the ISU, when asked about it, merely said the Italian Federation had told them to cross her out. We don't know if she's changed her mind or is merely injured. Likewise, the Japan Open website has been updated, and Elena Ginevichvili is now listed as in. Evgeny Plushenko is not. Anaheim might not have gotten a senior B yet, but the Glacier Falls Summer Classic was on nonetheless, and it was a story of comebacks, namely Mirai Nagasu and Richard Dornbusch. Dornbusch especially dominated the men's competition. His short included a quad, he messed the combo up, but still scored 81.66. Then the free had a quad with a hand down, followed by a fall. His first triple axel was followed by a weird moment going out, and a second was popped. But he pulled off all the easier triples, including a rip-on lutz and a triple-triple combo, which got him 151.42 for 233.08 overall, a very good way ahead of 206.52 of second-place Jason Brown, who had been in third in the short, where he tried the triple axel, singled it, didn't break 70, and was third in the segment, didn't do it in the long, and then kept his mistakes to a stumble, which still kept him under 140, but it was enough to pull up. Grant Hochstein was second after the short, where he scored 76.32 with only a couple of glitches, but he scored only 123.76 for a long in which he fell twice, barely breaking 200 for third. Nagasu won the ladies, but not quite as easily. Her short, if a little slow, had some of her old spark, but not her triple-triple. She scored 56.68, a big lead when no one else broke 50, which was a good thing before her, because in her long, set to Camille Saint-Saëns or Jean Concerto No. 3, trouble getting height on her jumps in the two-foot monster especially took its toll in the second half of the program, and she scored 99.92 and lost all but a point of her lead to free skate winner Vanessa Lam, who had been second after the short with troubled jumps and no combo, but her jumps were really better in her 107.88 point long, even if one had a step out and another a fall. She ended up with 155.76 overall. Nagasu had 156.60. Courtney Hicks was third in both segments, very close to Lam with a short where she stayed on her feet, and not far off Nagasu at a free, though she doubled one jump and botched a second jump of a combo. Her overall total was 143.20. The two junior competitions were both run by the reigning novice champions. Bitch and Chow took both men's segments easily after Nathan Chen withdrew for a total of 179.29, with Shotaro Mori coming in second, though he had to climb up fifth after the short. The ladies were divided into two groups. Polina Edmonds, the only skater to break 100 of the free, ran away with Group A by over 25 points, and Karen Chen beat Mariah Bell in Group B by close to 20. But when the top seven from each group skated in a final free, Chen took a much more narrow victory over Bell, 93.85 to 93.81, while Edmonds failed to break 90 and was third. The pairs were all in Indianapolis, competing in the Indy Pairs Challenge. For the second week in a row, Kristen Mortowers and Dylan Moskovich skated their short and long programs and won both segments, and this time they did it in style. They did have a couple of wild hands down in the short, which kept the score down to 56.49, but they also had level 4 steps and a star lift with a very creative entrance, and then in their queen medley free, with everything clean, including the triple toes, and solo sal cows, they skated it so beautifully, they got a standing ovation from everyone, including the other skaters and the USFSA officials, and a well-earned 127.34. Felicia Zhang and Nath Bartholomew scored 51.27 with their own stumbly throw lutz, but creative lift to finish second in the short, and Lindsay Davis and Mark Ladwig were third with a triple twist in side-by-side sal cows, if less stellar non-jump elements, for 49.86, with Gretchen Donlin and Andrew Spiroff on their heels, with 49.72 being their usual gorgeous selves, albeit with no value on the death spiral, her stumbling out of her toe, but fully rotating it, and serious spin sync issues. But this proved to be because behind them, Paige Lawrence and Rudy Swiger struggled, falling on jump and throw both, as did Marissa Castelli and Simon Schnappier, who didn't land any of three jumps clean. They were 6th and 7th, respectively. In the free, both these teams bid better. Castelli and Schnappier especially impressed with their choreography-heavy tango free, where their creative entries included going into their throw salchow from an Argentine tango hold. They did just did a throw double axel to be safe, and then their side-by-sides involved doubling by him and singling by her, but they still managed 102.95 for second. Lawrence and Swigers were close behind with 101.32. Their jumps were clean, though she had to fight for the throws, though their last lift had difficulty. Downland and Spiroff were close fourth again with 100.28 on the strength of everything but the jumps, with no clean jump elements and two falls. Zhang and Bartholomew weren't so lucky. Struggles with their throws brought their scores down to 91.71, and while Davis and Ladwig did better, landing triple salchow double toes, it was still only enough for 94.49. Now it was their turn to finish 6th and 7th. In a competition full of side-by-side salco attempts, the most ambitious pair was actually Tiffany Weiss and Don Baldwin, who went for side-by-side flips in the short. They didn't get them ratified, had a bad short altogether, and finished near the back. Though in their time to say goodbye free, they passed that up in favor of throw lutz and lift, both of which were still risky for them. They managed those and finished 5th, just shy of 100 points. The junior event was dominated by Canadians, particularly Christy and Chris Wirtz's Kitchener pairs. Their new pair, Brittany Jones and Ian Beharry, who seem informally confirmed as skating the Junior Grand Prix in Austria, won the short, if narrowly, with 44.88 points, when their training mate Shalina Rao and Philan Simpson, international debutantes in Lake Placid, didn't skate very well there to finish 6th, but the latter did far better with their My Fair Lady free, with a great triple twist, if not as good side-by-sides, winning with 84.15 points, with Jones and Beharry landing triple toes, but having a fall on the throw, in second with 81.41. Speaking of Canada, there were also announcements from three Canadian single skaters, sort of. The first is Vanessa Crone, who may have been an ice dancer these past couple of years, but said on Facebook after talking about her two failed partnerships after Poirier dumped her, she claims, "I realized that I couldn't see myself with anyone but Paul, and that my dance career would come to a halt, at least for now. So she's going to skate singles instead." She's not completely without experience there, and the state of Canadian ladies being what it is, it's not entirely crazy as it seems at first glance. Especially not when Cynthia Phaneuf announced this afternoon she'd been accepted by the College of Sports Media and is taking a break to focus on that while injured, though she says she is not done competing yet. The third announcement was from Maxime Billy Fortin, who after being born in Haiti and adopted by a Quebec City family at 6 months, has only been able to be a Canadian citizen because Haiti didn't allow dual citizenship, but they changed the law back in June, and now he's put his application in and wants to represent his birth country internationally. He even speaks of eventually building a rink in Haiti and introducing kids there to the sport. He might want to build it a bit quicker, because right now, without it, Haiti doesn't qualify for ISU membership, and when at 26 years of age, he wants to go to the Olympics. But the biggest single skater speaking this week was none other than Johnny Weir, who also performed performed this weekend in Sun Valley alongside Gracie Gold, with forest fires raging only 80 miles away, but the interview with him was published earlier in the week. He confirms that the Lady Gaga-given short program is indeed tour music, and his Phoenix-themed long program includes Handel's Sarabande and Requiem, presumably for a tower, but that's not completely confirmed, as performed by British electronic string quartet Escala and Edvard Martin's interpretation of Chopin. As he said, it's all heard before, but he adds, the way we've arranged the program, nobody will think, oh, I've seen this before. He and Galina Saskia have done most of the choreography because he and David Wilson couldn't make the schedule work, but they've had input from others like Nikolai Morozov and is relying on feedback from Champs Camp. He reiterates that he and the USFSA are on much better terms now than of old. He now has all his triples back, is still working on the quad, sees his transitions as the bigger concern, has managed to impress new training mate Mikkel Brzina, if his comments to the press are any indication, and admits he doesn't find the seating of most of his celebrity life easy, but he's managing. He hopes to make his comeback debut at the Finlandia Trophy, and hopes for one of the two spots to Worlds, but he says, if I skate well and don't win one of the spots, I'll go on vacation earlier. Then again, Four Continents is in Japan this season, and I'm not against it. Also letting out much information, plus their music choices this week, are Karis Ralph and Asher Hill. We knew already their short involved the can-can, but it also involves music from the film Gigi, which apparently fixed the polka very well, and their freeze to Freddie Mercury's Barcelona. Like countrymen Caitlin Weaver and Andrew Poge, they're finding it a challenge to top last year's free dance. They got a lot of accolades for their tango, but they see the large improvement they did last year as a base for this coming season. And says Ralph, I already have an idea in my head what I want our programs to look like. Now it's just about figuring out how to project it. They will probably do one summer competitions before Skate Canada. Artur Gazinski kept it shorter, releasing his music choices on Twitter. He's going with the Beethoven's Five Secret Long, even though he's not the only one using that music, and as short as to the piano piece Lamentations by Canadian artist Marimuz. And for Lena Radionova, we have learned she's keeping her Fifth Element short from last year while getting a new free choreograph by Ilya Averbuch. In bigger choreography news, we still don't know who's handling Daisuke Takahashi's long, but Naname Abe has gotten the gig to choreograph his short. Adrian Schultheis has also announced his music for this year. His short, choreographed by Irina Romanova, is to Robot Boys, and his long, choreographed by Salome Brunner, is to music from French composer René Aubry. Confirmation of a coaching change. Pernell Caron and Lloyd Jones are now known to be in D-side in Scotland under Marika Humphreys-Baranova. They said they needed a fresh voice and are happy with their new situation. The votes for the Michelle Kwan Trophy are in, and not much of a surprise here. Ashley Wagner has been voted the U.S. Skater of the Year for last season. She'll be presented with the award at Nationals. And finally, going back to Canada for a couple of pieces of housekeeping, Skate Canada's CEO, William Thompson, has stepped down. They're not moving to replace him right now, though. They're just going to rearrange leadership structure to function without him. Also, CBC and Radio Canada have won the media rights for the Sochi Olympics, as well as the Summer Games in Brazil. They originally done a joint bid with Bell Media, but the IOC didn't like their offers, so they've gotten a deal on their own. One hopes for the sake of Canadian fans they handle this business better than NBC does. And on that note, we end. Now, if you'll excuse us, me and my fellow Americans must go cry ourselves to sleep.